We praise the Lord for the privilege to be in your presence, to be in this conference. I'm happy to be here and happy to take my part in it. But, you know, after what I've already seen, I don't know if I should be up here or not. But we praise the Lord for the privilege. And as has been mentioned in several ways, the main thing is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word. And our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise the Lord for the privilege to know Him. Like the brother was mentioning about, when we sing about a salvation, we must include in it the fact that God elected our people. And I praise the Lord that I've been elected. I praise the Lord that these brethren that have gone before have been elected and are declaring the Word of God. Yeah. As I said, I feel, you know, maybe not qualified to follow Brother Andy and Brother Paul and Brother Matthew and these, the great singers that have been singing. But we praise the Lord for that. But I'm going to, if we start out, and we're going to go into the Word. And the Word I want to begin with is, I guess you'd call our starting point is Genesis chapter number 4. Brother Matthew said something about it is a new outline, and it is for me too. But you know, every time you open the Word of God, it's new. You know, it's never exhausted. And so I praise the Lord for the privilege to open the Word of God. And here's a verse I've just really never paid a whole lot of attention to. But in Genesis chapter number 4, let's begin with verse number 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God says she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also that was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. What I want to do this morning is to realize that we have this privilege. We have this privilege and responsibility to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, you think of what was going on. You know, that there's the creation, as far as much of it we've been revealed here in Genesis, is very young. But it's still some terrible happenings. And, you know, the Lord is needed. You know, we find a brother has murdered a son, and so there's a bad situation. And you know, Cain slew Abel, and you know, Cain and Adam in bringing the fall upon us. You know, he rebelled against God, and so there's some terrible things taking place. But here we find now, and many times we refer to Seth that as the godly line. You know. As the godly line, and notice what the godly line is doing. You know, he is, you know, through him comes forth a son, and he called his name Enos. And then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't know how much of a ministry Enos had, how long he lived, and that sort of thing. We could look up some of that, but I do know that he began to call upon the Lord, and that's a privilege that you and I have. That's a privilege that has been granted unto the people of God. And if we know Christ as our Savior, we know the Lord, and we have the privilege to call upon Him.
Right.
And that's awesome. That really is. If you think about it, that is really awesome that we can call upon the One who created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
He who brought all things into existence. He who holds all things together, and we're allowed to come into His holy presence and call upon His name.
Amen.
And we can come in prayer, and basically that's what that mouse is when you see that call upon the Lord in prayer. And so we're very thankful that we have that privilege to call upon the Lord. And you know, I wanted to stress this to begin with, but what this leads to is the importance of prayer and being that you're coming to the Lord in prayer and calling upon His name to lead us and guide us, that we go in the way that is glorifying to His name. Because, you know, even as has already been mentioned, that's what we were created for, to glorify God. And as we come into the Word of God, we find that we have this opportunity to be in the very presence of God and give Him the glory and the honor. And I'd like to turn, don't need to turn there, but in 1 Chronicles 16 and 11, you read that, chapter 16, verse 8 through 11, we are taught that we are to seek the Lord and come to Him not just once or twice, but continually.
Yes.
And that's what I want to stress today, is continually. And in the New Testament, you know, we find in Thessalonians that we are to pray unceasingly.
Yes.
So this is not, strictly speaking, the words the message I'm trying to bring to you is not strictly speaking about prayer, teaching, but I want you to understand that this coming into the presence of God is an activity. I wrote down somewhere, I don't have it here in front of me, but a biblical thing. From beginning to end, from that time that Enos began to call upon the Lord, that's what we find throughout the Scriptures. Those men that pleased God, they were calling upon the Lord. As you look in you look at Chronicles and many other places, we're taught that we're continually coming to His presence, as Paul says in Thessalonians, that we're to pray without ceasing. That means we're coming to His presence without ceasing.
Amen.
We're not to let up. If we want to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, if we want to glorify God, which we were created for, then we will come into His presence. And I want to encourage everyone today to think about your prayer life and to think about how often you enter in the presence of God, and how often do you beseech Him to guide you in the proper way, in a way that will glorify His name. And I know, I'm speaking for myself, I don't do it enough. In the book of I'm going to read a few verses here that if I can get the right book. If you ever have three strokes, you may have trouble like I do find your place in your Bible. But in the Gospel of Luke, and I'm just going to read, and I'm not so much going to be preaching to you so much today as just reading you some scripture verses and maybe make a few comments about them as we go along. And then, again, if we turn to, or I will, if I get there. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says about this. In chapter 18 of the Gospel of Luke, and verse number 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We need to pray. We need to spend more and more time. And he goes ahead with the parable and talks about the judge, the unjust judge, that feared not God, neither regarded man. But the widow kept coming to him and kept on. She did not faint. She continued to pray. And that's what we need to do too. Dan said, needs to, down to the end of my ministry, but I need prayer from you. I need prayer myself. I need to be praying unto God day by day that I might be able to glorify His name. You know, it's been spoken by some already, many already, not today, but other days too, that, it's brought out about in the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul says, he had a problem. This is the greatest man, one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth, as far as serving Christ is concerned. He said, when I would do good, evil was always present. You know, I found that so for 78 years now, by the way. You know, I used to come to Bible conferences, and I would have felt like a And I was one of the younger ones, but I got to say, I've put on a few years. Praise the Lord for that. And a few things have come along, but we still have the opportunity to glorify God. And Luke 18:1, like I said, and this parable here, he teaches us that we ought to never faint. Continue. You know, things are pretty bad in this world. We have many things taking place that, you know, that it can get you upset, and you can get downhearted and get discouraged, and, you know, you hear about people, and really it is. It's so bad. That's one. I agree with the assessment that the suicide is up. Suicide rate is up because people are getting discouraged, and they don't know which way to turn, and they just give up. But we can't do that. We come in the presence of our Lord daily, and we will be able to, no matter what Biden does, no matter what somebody else does that might be in control, no matter what the Soviet Union does, no matter what Iran does, no matter how this world goes, these things don't affect our knowing our Lord, and one day we'll be in His presence. We look forward to that time. I'm going to get out of this land, maybe sooner than most of you, I'm sure I will, that we're going to either rapture or go to the way of the grave. Amen. We're going to get in the presence of the Lord, and all these things will be left behind. But in the meantime, I can be up and stay up if I take time to call upon the name of the Lord daily, and maybe unceasing, without ceasing, we are to come to the presence of the Lord and glorify His name. And as I said, I'm going to read a few more scriptures just to teach us about prayer and prayer and more. That's what I want to probably add in too. We're going to teach you about prayer and more. And we'll see what the scriptures teach us about this. In Ephesians chapter number 6 of Ephesians. Again, if I can get to the right page. Ephesians chapter number 6. These are very familiar scriptures. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. In verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we are familiar that it's necessary to win, to fight the battle. We won't win the battle. The Lord wins the battle for us.
Yes.
But to continue on this road, we have to have some armor. And he encourages here to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he's quite an antagonist that we've got to be we don't want to be fearful of, but we have to be aware of. And we need to be about the business of fighting him.
Right.
And we do not give in to his wiles, but we have the armor of God to keep us on God's way, and we'll glorify God. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, saith unto you, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Amen.
We find some of the armor's names here. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This word that we have, that's been, you've had these wonderful men before you today and yesterday, and will tomorrow, and have been for years and years. These Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist preachers, they're preaching the word. They're standing for truth. And therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's what Brother Andy comes up here for. That's what these visiting preachers come up here for, is preach the word of God and to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And we praise the Lord for them. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then this is the verse 1. Praying always. Verse 18. There it began. It began back there in Genesis with Enos, and still today until
If it comes to the, until the Lord appears in the heavens or we meet him on his grave, we need to continue praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, we don't even know what to pray sometimes, and most of the time, but the Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. Yeah, and it's always through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his holy name. And so we need to continue to be about that. And of course, the familiar verses in James. We could turn over to James, if that's still in my Bible. I believe it is. But when I start leaving these pages with one hand and one finger, I manage to get mixed up. James chapter number 5 is in here. This is a great portion of scripture concerned calling upon the name of the Lord. And is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. You come before the Lord. We're told to come boldly, and we should bold to come before the throne of grace and pray to him. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord. And how many? Oh, I've talked to so many people and I know, I've met so many people over the years that the prayer of faith has saved the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. If that's your fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. You know, Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. He was another man, like the Apostle Paul said. When he would do good, he was always present. And that, because Elias, he was a man, just like the Apostle Paul was, just like I am, just like you are. But he was able to pray, and marvelous things happened. And he prayed earnestly it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The power of prayer is what I want you to see there. The power of coming into the presence of God. But now, then I want to look here at the. I'm going to skip some of this stuff. I'm going to look down here. It's too much for me. I don't read. I'm not reading so well. My sight's not so good anymore, and my diction is not that great. But you know, we can look through the Bible, and we find that Old Testament and New Testament alike, all the saints, they followed in the footsteps of Enos and Seth, the godly line. They called upon the name of the Lord. They come in his presence and call upon him. The Lord Jesus Christ thought he was here in Matthew chapter number six, and I think Luke 11th chapter. He teaches his disciples how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know, that prayer is the, sometimes it's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's the prayer that the disciples, it's a sample prayer. Yeah. It's an outline of how we come before God and give him glory and honor. Yeah. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we pray for that to happen. And you know what? It happens. Amen. The Lord is doing his will. His kingdom is coming, and his will is being done. And there the Lord is victorious in every way. So we praise the Lord for that. And so then the Lord Jesus Christ himself, from the very beginning of his ministry, in, I believe, I don't know what the clock's for back there.
Counting down.
I thought I wanted to see what was going on. But what was going on through there was the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught time and time again to pray. A lot of times we think of the prayer in regard to Gethsemane, which is a wonderful scripture that tells us what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. It's good for us to read that. That can bring us down to reality. How good He's been to us, how wonderful He's been to us, to allow us. You know, he was praying to the Father that the cup that He's going to have to suffer, that He could handle that. And as He handled that, as He was able to take that cup, which He did, He brought about our salvation.
Amen.
But you know, praying is something we all need to be about. As those of us who know Christ as Savior, we need to continue in prayer continually. And I just I was thinking about prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke. When he began his ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and then he went in the wilderness and he fasted and prayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know. I thought about having you hold your hand up. If you fasted 40 days and 40 nights, I don't think many of us have. But the Lord, He suffered so much on our behalf, and so we need to come into His presence and pray for the ability to glorify His name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We need, as has been brought out already, there's a Trinity, and one God represented unto us in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We praise the Lord for that. But anyhow, the Lord went into the desert. And he fasted. I wanted to bring that in. He fasted. He didn't just go in the wilderness and pray. He fasted. He didn't eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, and John the Baptist, you know, he fasted and prayed. And Paul the Apostle, you know, he fasted and prayed. You know, I just want to throw that in there because that's something I think that we maybe ought to be considering that we're not involved in. You know, we don't fast very much, you know.
Right.
I thought about all the good food we were consuming downstairs and have consumed it through the days gone before, and we sometimes just get through a quick prayer, Lord, thank you for food, and go on, but that's fine. But you know, maybe sometimes we might do more by not eating that food.
Right.
You know, the fasting and prayer is. There's marvelous things been accomplished by those who are fasting and praying. John the Baptist accomplished tremendous things. Of course, we know the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, it began with fasting and prayer, and he fasted and prayed throughout his ministry. Paul the Apostle, he fasted and prayed, as he said. And maybe look in the book of Acts, chapter number 13. There's some tremendous happenings taking place because of fasting and prayer. In Acts chapter number 13, notice this. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, that was Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them forth.
You know, the beginning of the greatest missionary journey, a couple, two or three greatest missionary journeys ever done on this earth, and it began with fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it may, perhaps, you know, I think of setting this, I was thinking, you know, maybe we could get more out of our life if we spend some time fasting and prayer,
yeah.
More time fasting and prayer, and then seeking the Lord's will, and then going about that will. That's what these brethren were doing here. They were fasting and praying, and then the Lord, the Holy Spirit moved in their midst, and come to their presence, and led them to send these men off. This was the beginning of the ministry of the Apostle Paul and those that traveled with him. And this, as I said, was preceded by prayer and fasting. And I'm just wondering, why is fasting played such a small part in your ministry? You know, I look back, there have been times I have, but I'm not fasted enough to brag about.
you know, I prayed a lot, but I could have prayed more, and I think probably, and the times that I have fasted, I saw some results. So I guess that's one thing I just want to throw in here, along with this prayer, just calling upon the Lord, that we might consider fasting. We need to. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to encourage anybody to consider 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, that the Lord did that, but you know, fasting. You know, the even the Pharisees in the New Testament. You know, the one Pharisee came forth and he said, "I fast twice in the week." He's proud of it. Well, right. You know, I don't want you to fast twice in the week and be proud of it, but I want you to think about you know. More or less, almost maybe encourage you the things you're praying for. That you'll be able to see more of the things you're praying for accomplished. Perhaps if you throw in this fact that's what happens in the scripture and praying and fasting, and there's tremendous happenings. And one other small thing, not small at all, but in Jonah chapter, in Jonah, he was a man that God called it, that rebel he was. He tried to go the wrong way, but the Lord straightened that out with the whale and fed him out on the beach. And then he traveled through the city of Nineveh, and he preached for yet 40 days. And the Lord was going to destroy him. And what did those people do? They called upon the Lord, and they fasted. They called, they prayed, and they fasted. From the king to the From the mighty king to the least of the population, they prayed and they fasted. They called upon the Lord and said, "Lord, have mercy." Lord, have mercy. I don't know exactly what words they used, but I'm sure it's something like that. Lord, have mercy. And the Lord heard their prayer. And I don't know how many was in that city, but if at least 3 days travel, well, several thousand. Perhaps a couple hundred thousand people, that their lives were saved, because after they prayed and fasted, the Lord heard their cry, and he did not destroy them. He had pity on them, and his mercy and his grace was manifest, that he did not bring the plagues upon them that he would have, but they prayed and fasted. So as the church there in the book of Acts, as they prayed, many great things were accomplished. Yes, and as the Ninevites prayed and fasted, great things were accomplished. And I guess I started to say here that we need more Ninevites. Yeah. We need more Ninevites in our midst that are willing to call upon the Lord and do so in a serious manner. And that's what fasting does. That shows that you are serious. And why do we, why does Dan Step never fast like he should? Well, the things of this world, I let them get in the way. And perhaps you have some things in the world might get in your way too. But we get so busy, we forget to call upon the Lord as we should. But, why do we? It's a wonderful thing. Prayer and fasting, it brings about many good and wonderful results. And like I say, in the case of Nineveh, saved thousands of people's lives. But and what does it do? Fasting itself. I want to mention that. Fasting, makes you humble. It humbles you before God. Makes you, when you go fast for a little while, you realize how dependent we are upon the things that the Lord has provided for us, and we realize afresh how weak we are, and we're crucifying the flesh, and it brings us closer to God. Amen. And it pleases God, as it did in Nineveh, so does it do in Acts. It pleased God. The prayer and fasting has brought great results, and made perhaps us Sovereign Grace Baptist Churches and members, if we could spend more time in prayer, calling upon His name, and more time, and perhaps even at serving a little fasting, we might see more results in our ministry and in our lives, that we might be able to better yet to glorify God. May the Lord cause us to realize that's what we're created for, and that's what we should be striving to do. If prayer, and with, I can assure you right now, praying and fasting will bring great change in your life and your ability to glorify God. May we do that. In some way, may we, may Dan Step be able to call more often and more seriously upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to thank Pastor and the church for allowing me to be here. And I told somebody this might be the last conference I'll go to try to stumble through these pages. But I appreciate the privilege and pray that the Lord will continue to bless the Grace Baptist Church and each and every one that's here take heed to the messages that you heard and will hear in this conference. And may God bless each and every one of us to glorify His blessed and holy name. That's what we're here for. Lord bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother, let you take over, brother. My efforts.